Good morning, good noon time, good noon 30, good afternoon, good evening, good midnight, whatever time of day it is. I want you to know, hey, I'm Lynn Ferguson and I approve this message. I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show, Lynn's Bends. It's a podcast dedicated to Black life in America and all over the world, and also music. So today, I'm feeling some kind of way. I feel like when life takes your lemons, what can you say? Well, if you want to find out, stay tuned. Sit back, grab a snack, pull up a stack, and let's jump in. Lynn's Bends. So I was talking with my Aunt Sharon the other day, and she's very up to date with the news, just like me. And she said something we were talking about led to her saying something about Don Lemon being fired. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, well, to be honest with you, I mean, like, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop, so to speak, with that situation for some months now, ever since I discovered that he was, you know, taken away from his nighttime show and put on a panel, just like, you know, he was put on a panel with a whole bunch of other people. Like, I was just like, this is like definitely a step backward, you know? So I knew something was going on. But the first thing that I really thought about is the fact that and that's what I said to her. I said, I just saw him in a video taking down this Vivek Ramaswamy, whatever his name is, this Indian man, lighter-skinned Indian man, who is racist as shit. I haven't seen much of his platform, but the only two times that I've seen him, once on this segment and once on a stage somewhere, he was just saying some ridiculous racist shit about civil rights and how, or the Civil War, and how the Civil War was fought all in all so Black people could have this right to the Second Amendment. The Civil War was not fought so Black people could have Second Amendment rights. Black people didn't have any rights, number one. How dare you? What are you, a first generation immigrant? You came over here from India to America to tell in the 2020s to tell Black people how we've been treated for centuries. You haven't even been here. Bitch, you wouldn't even be allowed to be here had it not been for what we established in during the Civil Rights Act. During civil rights movements in the 1960s and 50s. Like, are you kidding? If it weren't for what we did in the 60s, you all would not even be able to be here. They would have only continued to allow white immigrants to move here. I don't know why people keep acting like everybody has existed in America and it's been a melting pot since the beginning of time. The only people melting up in the pot were white people. Who started off as, you know, Polish, Irish, whatever, what have you, Russian, but melted into this melting pot of whiteness so that they could all, you know, perpetuate the system of racism and white supremacy that was put in place in America. Like, it's just crazy. It's like, I mean, that's literally how whiteness came to be. It was okay. We're not just in Europe in our individual countries anymore. We are in America, and, you know, because white people were feuding with each other in the Caucasus Mountains and in Europe for centuries. Even when Rome came to be, they were feuding with each other and fighting with each other and killing each other, taking over each other's places and things like that. So, like, it's just crazy because it's just like we're acting like they were ever, you know, one as a people. Even to this day, you go to Europe and they're not one as a people. It's a lot better now, but like, and it's totally different, but it's still separated by borders. It's not like it is in Africa where, you know, they force the black, you know, natives and indigenous people of Africa to get visas just to travel throughout, you know, across the borders throughout the continent. But, you know, of course, white people who come over from America and all these other places, they don't have to go through that. They're just welcomed. White people who are like a white South African or South African is allowed to travel freely throughout the borders of these different countries in Africa, and they're welcomed with open arms. So it's not like that. Like, the natives of Europe can travel, you know, to different countries for the most part. But it's just crazy. It's just like, so basically Don Lemon was going viral just like not even a week ago for taking down this Vivek Indian man's argument on CNN, where he was basically sitting there, and it was him, Don Lemon, and this white woman. And the white woman wasn't saying anything to stand up for black people. She wasn't saying anything, you know what I'm saying? As usual, she just sat there looking awkward and almost making it seem as though Don was the one who was in the wrong, you know? And this Indian man basically just kept sitting there saying, you know, the same shit about how the Civil War was fought over this. And he was so indignant and so fucking aggressive with what he was saying. Like, he was trying to beat Don Lemon into his place as a black man. No, you're going to accept this as your reality. And it's just so funny because it's just like, everybody is clamoring to be the next white supremacist. Not to mention that, you know, never mind the fact that there are even ecological effects of colonization. You know, like, they're saying that it apparently threw off the balance of the ecosystem. But I'll get into that later. But I just had to bring this to you guys because, like, even Fox News is calling out the clear fact that Don Lemon was fired from CNN because of his on-air exchange with Vivek Ramaswamy, who is a GOP hopeful. And, you know, Fox is racist as shit. They're dealing with their own issues, having to get rid of Tucker Carlson. But it's just like, why did you fire this man? They're trying to claim that Don was fired because he said something about a white woman being out of her prime or past her prime. When I heard that, and my aunt Sharon was the one who told me that, and I immediately was like, no, that's not the reason. You know what I'm saying? And like, you know, she seemed to believe that that was the reason. And I was just like, no, this is not the reason. But I just kept it to myself because I wanted to do some more research on it so I could actually say something about it. Because, you know, when people are pretty solid in their beliefs, you got to really have some evidence to even think about changing their mind on that. But it's just crazy. It's just like, they're doing it right in the open. Like, they're doing it right in the open. They fired this man because of what he said to Vivek, whatever the fuck his name is. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny that this happened because I have been dealing with discrimination from the Indian community at my university at SLU. And I'm actually about to make a few more SLU's Blues episodes, but I guess this could be part of one. But on the 26th, at about 9:39 p.m., a SLU ride van showed to the Fresh Time parking lot where I go and get my, you know, groceries and things like that to escort me to my SLU apartment, as I requested through the application through the phone that we have for scheduling a SLU ride. So once the van came to a halt, I proceeded to enter the vehicle. As I did so, I found that the door was locked. I stayed there for a second, wondering what was going on, you know, until the passenger side window came down and the driver yelled over at the friend who was helping him to escort people that night, something I'd noticed earlier when they dropped me at the same location just minutes prior. Excuse me. The driver, an Indian man, his passenger was Indian as well, informed me that he was not my ride. The way he said it was kind of off, and it was just a really off situation in general, because it was just like, it had never happened before, you know, me being told that this is not your ride. And since I figured SLU vans could just pick anyone up, was the other reason that it was just weird to me, you know? The energy I got from the interaction seemed to match their nonchalance and your shit out of luck facial expressions, you know, as they told me to check my driver. I didn't know I could do that. So I look at the application, I check, I see that it's the name of this, you know, it's the name of an Indian man, but apparently, you know, when I say the name, they deny it being him. And I backed away from the vehicle slowly, and I remained in the same vicinity waiting for my ride, apparently, until, you know, my apparent ride, until they pulled off with no passengers. So they sat there for like 5 minutes. Nobody came out of the store, nobody got in their car. So it was, that made it even more suspicious and like, it was just ridiculous. I found it to be very troubling, seeing as it felt like discrimination in the moment and frankly still does. And I, you know, recorded the last half of the exchange and everything. And, you know, it has to be noted as well that when the driver who actually I was assigned to picked me up, I informed him about the situation and he let me know that it shouldn't have gone down that way. He apologized for my treatment, and you know, he was like the first nice guy who I met who was Indian who drove me around. I've been driven around by mostly Indian men, but like once in a while it'll be like a white guy or something like that, and I have no issues with them. But an Indian man, oh my goodness, 9 times out of 10 I'm gonna have an issue. 8 times out of 10. So that was the 26th. And if you notice, the way I was speaking was very, it was a certain way, more organized and stuff. And it's because I'm reading from the actual report. Sorry, y'all, the wind is blowing in the background. So if you hear like the rustling of my blinds, that's what the fuck it is. I was reading from the report that I made about the incident, because I made a formal report. I wasn't going to complain formally about it. I just called the transportation department, let the black supervisor know about the situation. And I didn't intend to get a black person. I didn't even know he was black until he answered the phone and confirmed that he was the guy I was looking for, who is the head of that department. So he happens to be black. And he actually said that to assure me that he was going to handle the situation and that he had never really heard of things like this happening before with, you know, the community, Indian versus black at the school and whatever and whatnot. And I'm like, well, and he also acknowledged that there are not many students here who are black and American anymore, like it used to be, because of how international initiatives that they've really taken at this school. So he did acknowledge that that might be part of the reason. And I say, yeah, that's definitely the reason. So there's also the fact that, you know, a lot of black people are not going to say anything. They're just happy to be here. They're going to keep their heads down and try not to make any waves. And if they have to just deal with a bad attitude from somebody who, you know, is racist, you know, who's not, you know, doing something that's causing them physical harm, then they'll deal with it, you know, and that means they'll deal with a lot of stuff. And it's just unfortunate. Then a lot of people don't know how to report stuff like that. Then we're at a PWI, predominantly white institution. So like a lot of systemic and systematic oppression goes on and racism. So like you got people who intentionally do not tell black students, you know, about their options and how they should handle a particular situation. Because they don't, you know, personally see it as a big deal that they feel like they need to tell them to report it, you know? So it's just like, it's a lot of stuff that goes into coming from a country where your people were enslaved for hundreds of years. Like, you know, you don't just wake up and become free no matter how many laws are passed. You know, there are so many things that are ingrained in the society that people want to ignore. But the reason I made the complaint, so I made the complaint with, you know, the guy in the head of the transportation department, and, or at least who I understand that to be. And he said he's going to handle it. He made a few excuses, but I at least felt like he heard what I said. So I'll give him that. I was just going to leave it at that and not formally, you know, do discrimination reports and stuff like I'm reading from. But now I'm going to read from the second one that was on, I believe, a relative of the dude who it was involved in the first report, who actually drove me before and was a little rude before. But like, I think this was retaliation because he was definitely on a whole nother level this time. So the next day, the 27th, Slew Ride Van showed in the Linda Walgreens parking lot to escort me to my Slew apartment, as I requested through the application. Once the van came to a halt, I proceeded to cross in front of it to get to the right side of the vehicle, the side to which we're always directed as passengers to enter. As I stepped in front of the driver's side of the hood, the driver, an Indian man, honked his horn for a prolonged few seconds. And mind you, you guys, these are not just random Indian men. These are who work for SLU driving vans. These are fellow students. So these, both of these men, young men, are in their early 20s at the most. And they go to this school with me. They're students. So like, these are dudes who are younger than me, who, you know, because I'm 28 and I just started. So like, these dudes are like, you know, the normal age for people who are juniors, seniors, sophomores, stuff like that. So like, I'm pretty sure they're like juniors or sophomores, but they may be seniors, who knows. I'm fairly certain they're not freshmen. They look like they're at least 20 years old, probably 22. But you know, sometimes I'll be honest, Indian, some different races in general, like do be looking a little older, you know, at earlier ages. But so like as I step in front of the driver's side of the hood, the driver, this Indian man, honked his horn for a prolonged few seconds, immediately assaulting my ears. I stood there for a second as the driver pointed to the left side of the door, indicating he wanted me to enter from there. I did so to find that I was unable to get into the vehicle because his front seat was so far back, it was almost right up against the seat within which I was supposed to be seated. I asked him to move his chair forward, and he did so before deciding he didn't feel the need, apparently, as he adjusted his seat almost completely back to where it was before I asked him to move it. He then told me to just adjust my seat instead. Since he didn't move all of the way back to where the chair started, I was able to get in the car and declined to move my seat backward at all. Once I got settled, I informed him I did not appreciate him honking his horn so loudly and for such a prolonged period of time, with me not even a foot away from the driver's side headlight, or in front of it. The female passenger of the same race, so this is an Indian woman as well, Indian student, she looked like she was probably like 20, who was sitting across from me, proceeded to defend him by claiming it was her fault and also the fact that I was walking the wrong way. So it was both of our fault. It wasn't his fault at all. And he was the one who did what he did, not the driver's. I informed her that the way he chose to alert me of this is unprofessional and rude, something she just shrugged off as if it made no sense, while simultaneously recognizing she could not argue against it, despite offering an argument for a bit longer. This made me feel even more persecuted, seeing as I couldn't just make it clear how I was obviously offended and mistreated in this instance as a Black woman without other people of the same offenders, of the offender's same demographic, coming to his aid, as if what he did was excusable. You don't honk your horn loudly at someone when they are directly in front of your car, especially passengers. And when a woman is standing up for herself, particularly a Black woman, understanding the struggles of our race in America, you don't dismiss it and undervalue her, especially as another woman. They then began to speak in Hindi as if nothing had happened. Though the woman made certain to speak in English when she wished him a good day as she exited the vehicle, saying goodbye to me as well. I thanked her in Hindi, which seemed to shock her as she took a moment to process that I did indeed say what I said. What I said was Shukriya. And she then expressed her surprise. The funniest thing about all of this is that this man picked me up several days ago and was just as rude. Every time I tried to relate over the music he was playing, he would try to dismiss it or drown me out with that very music. This goes with the culture of a lot of Indian people I've met at this school, whether they be working in the cafeteria or driving people, discriminating against me as a Black person. It is not something new to me in St. Louis, seeing as I've experienced it at most Arab or Indian-run establishments in the hood. And I do mean both the Arab or Indian-run. It's just disheartening to attend such an international school and be so thwarted in my attempts to relate to people of different backgrounds by those same people. That's what I put in the report. You know, because I wanted them to understand exactly what I'm saying with this, because it's like, this is not just a situation of, oh, okay, you know, somebody's having a bad day, like what the supervisor offered me on the phone after the first incident, you know, as a possible excuse for why what happened. And it's like, no, this is not just a bad day. When I first got here, the first day I came to the couple weeks I was in the cafeteria, I had just gotten a new pair of shoes, and a woman, an Indian woman, who I've had no problems with since, but I had several problems with her the first few days. Like, the first day I came in the cafeteria, she was like, I was, you know, saying something to her, and she didn't want to acknowledge what I was saying. And then there was another situation, another day, where, and mind you, what I just described happened a lot. Like, every time I went in the cafeteria, I would go to her to get something to eat, and I would like make a joke, you know, or I would, you know, say nice weather we're having, right? You know, things like that would engage someone, and that if someone was actually, you know, trying to, you know, be, you know, courteous and professional and like, you know, whatever, at one point, you know, one day or two, you're having a bad day, but at one point, over the course of like weeks, you're gonna say something, you know, if you're not being a rude bitch. But she is being very rude, and she speaks English perfectly well. So it wasn't because she didn't speak English. But you know, you can't just expect people to talk to you, you know, even when they're working in their job in customer service. I mean, you know, it's not always gonna be the case. So like, you know, and if it's always the case that they don't wanna talk to you, that's really, they really shouldn't be working that job, but whatever. I didn't make a problem with her because of that. I just decided to stay away from her. There was this one moment, though, after that, when I needed to know where the fountains were so I could get something to drink in the cafeteria. And I came up and approached from behind the girl she was talking to, who was another Indian woman working in the cafeteria as well. But she saw me approaching, and when I got there, she turned around and went behind the girl who had to turn around and face me and let that girl answer the question because she didn't want to say anything to me. And I'm just like, okay, now we're going a bit too far. And the last straw, when I finally reported her, is when I had just come into the cafeteria to eat something, and I had just gotten some new shoes that I was wearing, some cute flats, and she kept wanting to pass by my table, like right next to me, every 2 seconds. And it was like, you know, 30 minutes before the cafeteria closed or whatever. She kept acting like she had something in that corner to wipe down or to do something with. And it was like she had already cleaned everything in that area of the cafeteria except where I was sitting. So it's like, girl, you stop coming over here. So I moved one of the chairs from the table out into the walkway that was right next to my table just a little bit so that she would not be able to get past. That way she would have to just go 2 feet over to the other direction and go around the table. Because I don't want you constantly walk. At this point, you have passed me 15 times in 5 minutes. I don't want you to keep walking over here. I'm trying to eat. And I keep having to deal with, you know, you walking past me, bringing the breeze of your scent with you, and having to deal with the fact that somebody's walking behind me and now they're in front of me every 2 seconds, and somebody's constantly trying to make it clear that they don't want me here. They want me to just hurry up and leave the cafeteria because they're ready to go. I'm not here for that. So when I moved the chair out, it deterred her. It kept, you know, the Black Knight at bay. You know, the moat kept it at bay, you know, for a hot minute. But she eventually came over right next to me, and this chair had my purse in it, moved the chair, and in the process of doing so, scraped my shoe three times. I was so upset, and then she had to not argue with me until she finally just realized that she needed to stop. And I was like, yeah, this is ridiculous. And I went over and I went to go report it to this Black woman who happened to be the manager that night. And I told her about the situation and everything, and she relayed it over to whoever she needed to relay it to. But, you know, then there was the next day, retaliation. This Indian man who I saw talking to that same girl after she had, you know, done what she did with me. And this next day, I was at the Qdoba that's here on campus, and I was getting something to eat, and he was just like throwing stuff on the counter, clearly had an attitude, you know, yelling, barking orders at me to, you know, demanding to know what I wanted this way and what I wanted that way. And I'm just like after like the third question, I was like, you know what? Like, so, like, is there a problem? Like, is there a reason you have an attitude or something? And he kept trying to pretend he didn't have an attitude. And I told him, yes, you do. And you're treating me ridiculously, and I don't appreciate it. And then, you know, they tried to defend him, the other Indian people who were working behind the counter. And I was like, no, you know, the women. And I was like, no, he's clearly got an attitude, and everybody knows it. And it was just really unfortunate, because it's just like, there's a culture of this here. So I'm not surprised that an Indian man got a Black man fired from his job, who, you know, white supremacy was already trying to get out of his job anyway with the Don Lemon situation, you know. But it's just like, I have to point it out, because they are trying to claim that it's because of this, what he said to this white woman. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It really does. Nothing to do with that. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Henderson, your host here on the show. Want to see you next time we jump in, Lynn's. So earlier I mentioned that, you know, there are tensions between the Indian and Black communities on campus. I've had many different issues alone, you know, just myself, since day one, as I've laid out, you know. But to expound upon that and the tensions between the communities when it comes to what we saw on CNN with Don Lemon and why he was really fired, even though they tried to cover it up with some, you know, situation with a white woman and calling her old or something. It's not what the fuck happened. They didn't fire a Black man in 2023 because he called a white woman old. Now, they did lie and say that they fired him for that reason in 2023. But it's always going to be fucking racism that comes down to the situation. You know what I'm saying? It's always going to be because they didn't play their part as a Black person, you know, as a token Black person. But I'm on news.climate.colombia.edu, and it's from the Columbia Climate School, Climate, Earth, and Society, State of the Planet. And there is an article written by an Anuradha Varanasi. Sorry, I think I said that right. Anuradha Varanasi. She's written in regard to climate and sustainability, how colonialism spawned and continues to exacerbate the climate crisis. And it starts off with this this picture of New Zealand, and it's a comparison of forest cover before and after the British colonization of the area. And it's devastating, truly devastating. Literally, like, I think it was exactly half, if not more than half, of the continent, or excuse me, of the island masses were covered in greenery. And now it's like, every place you see greenery, it's like very, very sparse. Very sparse. It's basically non-existent. It's surprising that there's still, you know, any greenery anywhere. But it goes on to read, we currently live in an epoch that geologists call the Holocene, which began soon after the last major ice age, ended around 11,700 years ago. But for over two decades, some scientists have argued that the label is far too antiquated. In 2000, the term Anthropocene, anthropo for human and scene for new, gained prominence. It highlights how human activities dominate the Earth's land, atmosphere, and ocean, significantly impacting its climate and natural ecosystems. To date, researchers have mentioned the Anthropocene epoch as the latest geological period in more than 1,300 scientific papers. While the scientific community has been debating over which year the Anthropocene epoch began, several indigenous and Black scholars have shot back against the term. The problem, some scholars say, is that the term assumes the climate crisis is caused by universal human nature, rather than the actions of a minority of colonialists, capitalists, and patriarchs. And let's just be real about that. It further reads, and the implication that the Earth was stable around 1950, or until around 1950, when the Anthropocene suddenly began, denies the history of people who have been exploited by those systems for centuries. Indigenous scholars have further addressed how the term stands for colonialists that sever the deep ties and interconnections between humans, plants, animals, and the soil. Instead of treating the Earth like a precious entity that gives us life, Western colonial legacies operate within a paradigm that assumes they can extract its natural resources as much as they want, and the Earth will regenerate itself, said Hadil Asali, a lecturer and postdoctoral scholar at the Center for Science in Society, a Columbia Climate School affiliate. So the next section of this is titled Rising Global Inequalities. By 2008, countries in Asia and Africa gained independence from their colonial empires, which had by then returned to their homelands, and yet colonialism is still not a thing in the past. It continues to oppress developing nations and minorities and minority communities globally, from Western Africa to Libya, Palestine to Ukraine, to places like Kashmir, that are facing subjugation under military occupation. And even Sudan, I'll throw that in there, even though the article doesn't write about it, and the proxy war that's being fought over there between the US and Russia, because we've always wanted what they have, their resources. Same thing anybody's ever wanted from Africa. For the first time in more than three decades since its inception, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, also known as IPCC, mentioned the term colonialism in a 2022 report. Leading climate scientists acknowledge that colonialism is a historic and ongoing driver for the climate crisis. Present development challenges causing high vulnerability and influenced by historical and ongoing patterns of inequity, such as colonialism, especially for so many indigenous peoples and local communities, the report said. Officials and scientists from around the globe now recognize the significant role colonialism has played in heating our planet and destroying its many goods. And that's something, they didn't just kill the planet with they didn't just kill people. You know, they didn't just commit genocide with colonialism. They literally killed the very thing that gives all of us life, that keeps all of us suspended in space. It's beyond crazy to think about, I mean, how selfish and despicable one group of people has been throughout history. And it's crazy. I have found myself thinking about the role that, you know, white people have had throughout history and like how I talk about that. Because when I say things like what I just said, I automatically think, you can't help but think about it when you're raised in a racist society and you're taught to think about what white people want and what white people like. So like, you know, you can't help but think, ooh, I feel like 7, 8 out of 10 white people would hear this and would be like, you're racist against white people. You're using reverse racism, you know, something like that. But it's like, it's literally just the truth, and it's literally easier to understand if you couldn't before why they are trying to get rid of history, why they are getting rid of African American studies, why in colleges, you can't even get a degree in African American studies in colleges in Florida anymore. You know what I'm saying? Let Ron DeSantis have his way. Like, it's really crazy, you know, why they're banning books, all these other things, why information is becoming a crime, you know? It makes total sense, because it's like, they have been so, they did it to themselves. They were so detrimental to Black people, to the world, to Native Americans, everybody. And they're unrepentant for it, that it's literally just like, you can't talk about history without like sounding like a person who doesn't like white people. You know what I mean? You really can't talk about it. You can't truthfully talk about history in a way that doesn't make white people feel like you don't like them. Because who would like themselves if they heard their story like this? You know? And, you know, people can hide behind, I'm not my ancestors, but you know, whatever. We all know how that works. We know how slavery works. We definitely were our ancestors. You know what I'm saying? They made us our ancestors. They made us our fathers and our mothers, like over and over again for centuries. And then they want to tell us that all of a sudden that we're not our ancestors. Bitch, please. But I just had to mention that little side note. And you guys can look into that article. If you need to rewind the episode and get the title of it and everything, then go ahead and do that. But I put the website in there as well. It's a really good read. It's just like very, very enlightening. It's very powerful to read your history and to look at things from a more realistic perspective. Not a racist perspective, not an anti-white perspective, literally just a realistic perspective, you know? The one that's been hidden because the people who did this stuff are in power, and they're still in power. Colonialism did not end, like the article alluded to and basically plainly put forth. It does not end with the, you know, sovereignty of nations or independence of continents, which is still not garnered, because look at how entrenched Africa is in, you know, Chinese and European and even American interest. But I also wanted to speak to, but it's just crazy to think that, you know, this isn't just something that we often think about, the triangle slave trade and like, you know, also the colonialism as like something that affected the people of this earth. And it affected, when I say, you know, because I've said this a lot, that it affected the entire earth. And I'm usually talking about the people and the culture and stuff and how people were affected. But like, you don't really think about the fact that they literally moved mountains. They literally renamed the entire planet. They literally like massacred animals. the things that animals have gone through ever since colonialism, like, it's ridiculous, especially since industrialization. Like, they brought pollution. They brought, I mean, they were so unsanitary that they killed off whole fucking groups of people in genocides because they could not clean themselves properly. And they did not live properly and therefore carried diseases. It's just like, I mean, Native Americans were literally killed off. If it wasn't the rape, if it wasn't the execution, if it wasn't the fucking mutilation and the cannibalism and things like that that they performed against Native Americans, it was just the lack of hygiene, of good hygiene and sanitation. Like, peoples all over the world knew how to take care of themselves. For hellas have been taking care of themselves, but for some reason, Europeans had a whole another situation, possibly because they were in like the coldest place that was like continuously cold. I don't know, but for some reason, you know, in that cold, wet place, they did not, you know, learn the things that they needed to learn and or implement them at the very least to keep themselves safe and others around them. Literally, like, if you look at, like, you know, certain parts of European history, it's literally just nothing but, the majority of it is nothing but violence, war, anarchy, chaos, and fucking unsanitation. If that's the way you say that. Bad hygiene. Like, just disgusting living conditions. You know, there are so many cultures that were living in squalor. Like, I mean, you look at the Palace of Versailles and how they would dump shit pails and piss pails out the window of their kingdom. You know what I'm saying? You're in a palace and that's what you're doing. That's what you do with your palaces. Be fuck. Meanwhile, Egyptians had indoor plumbing. It's just so funny to me, you know? I also wanted to speak to Vice President Kamala Harris, and, you know, harkening back to that conversation about, you know, the Indian and Black communities. I remember when she was running a couple years ago, and she was basically running on, you know, what most of these politicians are doing nowadays, running on an anti-Black platform. And it worked. She's Vice President. One of the main things she said, after, and this is after, I believe, or before she, it was one or the other, before she walked out with, you know, to a restaurant and pulled hot sauce out of her purse, like she was really, like she didn't plan that, like it wasn't a stunt. You know what I'm saying? She did that after what I'm about to describe. But I remember when she was running and on one of her stage platforms, someone asked her what she specifically was going to do for Black people. And she said, I'm not specifically going to do a damn thing for Black people. She gave this speech about how we're America, we don't deserve anything in particular as Black people. And the bitch is Black. The bitch is Black and Indian. But see, there's the rub. Now, when Indian communities have expected her to come through for her community, she is held accountable for that. She is held to a certain standard by them because they know that she is going to do what they say. And she knows that she needs to do what they say. Her mother is the main one who raised her, I believe. And her mother is Indian. So she identifies more so with her Indian culture than anything else. And you see that in how she leads her life. I mean, she's got a white husband. And I'm not saying you can't be pro-Black and have a white whoever, but, you know, it is a little contradictory to be super pro-Black and have, you know, white this, that, and the third. In her case, it's very contradictory to claim you're pro-Black and want to get the Black vote to make you vice president or president. And you literally put Black people in California in jail for a living. For their kids not going to school while they're out working, you know? It's just, I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. You know, you want the black vote, but you don't want to do anything specifically for black people except to embarrass us by associating us again, relegating us again to and with the trope of eating fried chicken and having hot sauce on us 24/7. That you are not Beyonce. You can't pull it off. See, the problem is people like her grew up thinking that they were better and classier than Beyonce, but they have less class than Beyonce. They don't have the class of the regular average black person because they're so indignant and lack so much integrity that they chase after whiteness so much that they do the same things that even white people do when their class goes out the window, which is when they become indignant when they are in a racist situation where their colors of racism are really showing. Then you will get like the most, you know, regressive form of a white person you could think that you would ever come across. You know, you'll get the bitch who's ready to fucking, you know, act toxic with you and say disgusting things to you and not even make half a lick of sense with half the things that they say. You'll get the dude who's like getting very violent and aggressive and, you know, talking stupidly like some bro, you know what I'm saying, and ready to fight because or ready to shoot you because of your opinion. You know, you get people who are like talking to you, talking down to you like you are stepping out of your place. You know, that type of entitled side comes out when you deal with white people. So, you know, it's just like, it's not surprising that she's just as indignant. But it's just like, I just had to point that out and tie that into this episode because it's just like, this is not a one-off situation. Like, Kamala Harris is racist has problems with black people and prejudice. You know, just like a lot of the Indian people I have dealt with at this school. And like, I keep saying, it is not everybody, you know. But one of my favorite movies in the world, now I don't know how a lot of Indian people feel about this movie because I do know that there's such a thing called cultural appropriation and whitewashing, so you never know how they feel about this movie. But one of my favorite movies is Slumdog Millionaire, and it is a movie set in India, and it is with one of my favorite actors. Actually, he is my favorite actor when it comes to like male actors, and if we don't count actresses, Dev Patel is my favorite actor. I loved him in Skins. I loved him in that other kid show, I forget he was in, or movie. I loved him in, was he in Avatar, the live action? I don't know. That shit was horrible anyway. So, I mean, I clearly didn't love him in that. I loved him in Chappie, about the robot. I loved him in, it wasn't The Man Who Could Count to Infinity, was it? Man Who Knew Infinity. I think it was something else, one of those movies like that. And he was like at a college or something, doing something. I saw some of that and I did like that. I love him in Slumdog Millionaire, which is the first thing that I remember seeing him in. Well, no, it's the second thing, because Skins was the very first thing. But I didn't stick with Skins. I only saw like a first, like, the first like third of the first season, like a third of the first season of Skins, maybe. So I'm actually just getting back into it because, you know, I just never really, you know, stuck with it like that. So I don't know it like I knew Dawson's Creek and Degrassi and Vampire Diaries and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just crazy. It's just unfortunate because it's just like, you know, you can even be black, and because you're Indian as well, have problems with black people. So we're not gonna sit here and pretend that the Indian community and black community do not have issues. You know, I have lived in St. Louis, Missouri most of my life, and if not all of my life, basically. And the things that I've gone through at mostly Arab establishments, but even Indian establishments, you know what I'm saying? It's been a very tough situation. Been a really tough situation. I have gone through a lot of stuff at these establishments or in people's cars, taxis, or whatever the case is, because, you know, people are entitled. They come over here and they come over here with all these preconceived notions about Black Americans, and then they think that they can discriminate against us in our own fucking country. And I don't know if it's because they have Black people where they come from, People, you know, who are Arab, you know, there are Black people who are Arab and stuff like that. I don't know what the situation exactly is, if it's them bringing over their prejudices from where they came from with the actual dealings that they had with those people over there, which would still be just as bad, or if it's specific to us in America. But I know they don't like Black people at all. So, and I know Black Americans are like the bottom of the totem pole, if not somewhere in Africa. So, you know, it's just like, you know, people have just treated us like shit continuously, and they come over here and they treat us like shit. And that's what they do, and that's what I think about every time I go through these situations at this school, because I'm just sitting here like, bitch, you are literally over here on a visa. You just moved over here. Maybe you were born over here. You're first generation. I don't fucking know. But yeah, it's just ridiculous to me, because it's just like, you're gonna come over here. You're first, you know, second generation, you know, immigrant. You are coming over here, and you're going to discriminate against the native Black people of the country. And you find some reason to say, let's just be real about this. Like, if I went over to India as a Black American and I tried to pull that stunt over there, they would fucking probably put me in jail, among other things. Like, let's be real about this. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good. Like, whatever happened, it wouldn't be good, you know? Because it's just like, but it would be good, because it'd be exactly what I deserved in that situation, because you don't get to go over, well, maybe, because you don't get to go over to somebody else's country and, you know, talk to them like they're trash and treat them like shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. But people come over here and do this, and this is not just an Indian thing, like, or a, you know, non-Black immigrant thing. This is also a Black immigrant thing. This has happened with, you know, people who immigrate from Nigeria, from, you know, different African countries, you know, who are fed these false narratives about Black people in their communities, and it's just unfortunate, you know. White supremacy is strong with this world. Like, but yeah, it's just ridiculous. Sorry, the last thing, part got cut off, so I ended up having to do another segment. I usually don't do, 3 is like my max, but, you know, I didn't really plan to do 3 for this one, but it's cool. But, yeah, I just had to speak to that, because it's just like, it's so infuriating. Like, it's like they come over here and think of it as if they're coming over to someone else's house, but it's not our house. That's why they're disrespecting us. It's the white people's house, and we're just the help. You know what I'm saying? We're the slaves on the property. So, like, they can disrespect us, you know? They can do whatever they want when it comes to us. And they're encouraged by a lot of people of the demographic they're trying to appease. So it's not really, like, too inconceivable. It still is just, like, very infuriating, because it's like, you know, it's very bothersome, because it's just like, it's very irksome, because it's like, you're not gonna come over, not to me, are you gonna come over here and in my country make me feel as if I deserve less rights than you. Not equal rights to you, because that would be understandable, but less rights than you? Why? I don't even deserve less rights than these white people who can say that they're native to America as well. The same way I can. Well, in a different way, I guess. So it's just like, it's ridiculous. Like, no one is above us. We are equal. We are humans under the law, and we are humans nevertheless. So, you know, I mean, we're not gonna do hierarchies over here, because if we really categorize shit, people wouldn't like the hierarchies that really, based on science and other things, might be presented. You know, I mean, let's just be real. But I'm Lynn Ferguson, also known as Lynn Tennyson, your host here on the show. And